one of the most interesting places in the city to drink tea, or better yet, coffee, is on the bustling Salah Adin Street in East Jerusalem, not far from the elaborate Damascus Gate of the Old City. I discovered the great place to drink tea or coffee more than a decade ago, on the recommendation of a friend. It's actually a bookstore called the Educational Bookshop that also serves as the Palestinian Culture House. Rehman and Mahmoud are already inside, enjoying their tea and a good conversation. Shall we head in? On page 15, you can see Rehman and Mahmoud in the cafe.
It's interesting how, for us, Arabic is a language that we escaped for safety and identity and homeness and the communal of being part of the Arab world. While for Israelis, it's insecurity and it's a threat. And it is the enemies. It is amazing. It's just the one thing that we completely see the opposite thing on it. It's the injustice we're doing to the language. After I finished school, I joined the Hebrew University for 1 year. It was also the first year of the Intifada, the second Intifada. Mm. So it was a complicated relationship. I tried to give it my best. And after a year, I left it and I joined Al-Quds University, which is the Jerusalem University, but the Palestinian one this time. And I did 2 years there, in which the second year, the second Intifada started to become much more aggressive. The army was coming into the university campus pretty much daily, and the way to the university started to become complicated. The wall was being built in the eastern side of the city, so it was also not a good place to be. And that's when I left to the UK. With all my love to Jerusalem, I can't forgive Jerusalem for kicking me out at one point of the city and has to go to my previous colonizers, Britain, to study. But then you hit reality as well. Reality is, for Palestinians in East Jerusalem, you cannot leave the city for more than 6-7 years because otherwise you lose your right of residency to the city because we are not citizens. So you get to the junction point in your life where you have to decide. If you're going back to Jerusalem, then you have to go back now. But then towards the end of my time in the UK was also the beginning of the Arab Spring. It seems like there is a window of open opportunity for people who want to contribute to a new changing Middle East. So I felt a sense of responsibility in a way. But there is no doubt that there was some sort of burning into the heart that Jerusalem is a place where I want to be as well.
You've insisted on your place here to a great extent.
Yes, sure. I mean, you insist on your place or you insist on your right to the place, whether you want to take up that place or not. That's another story. You understand everything about that city. And if you think that you are an important key of the city, in a sense, you can understand all the dynamics of the city, then the city doesn't challenge you anymore. The minute you convince yourself that this is your city, you know exactly what you're doing, you understand what's going to happen, it will become a probably boring relationship. When I came back, I came to the bookstore, which my dad had started years ago, with his own mission of educating refugees. He was a teacher in a refugee camp, and he devoted all his life to the Palestinian refugees, whether in his day work in the school or whether in his afternoon activity in the bookstore, selling and promoting books in Arabic. I was exposed to the need, that's the Palestinian story, need to be available in other languages beyond Arabic. And the idea is not to just to stick to the political aspect, but you know, what about Palestinian food? What about Palestinian music? What about Palestinian literature? So trying to collect books and materials that does present the Palestinian story in its full spectrum of colors to everyone, and maybe be part of an international wave where we're taking the Palestinian story abroad. And we are taking it in its full contradictions, and we are taking it in its full spectrum, not trying to protect it, not trying to portray it in only in its beautiful colors. Yes, there is occupation. There's a very bad occupation. There's a devilish occupation. But there's also responsibility that I take on my community. We can't just keep blaming the occupation. We should not close our eyes on issues that we have with our community. This is tough because they have a national protective line, but can we just turn off the lights, sit in our own room as Palestinians and speak about issues that's including us? this city, Jerusalem particularly, have seen every single civilization coming through its doors. No one survived forever. Leaving is the destiny of every civilization that has ever tried to control Jerusalem. And I don't think the Jews or the Muslims or the Arabs are going to have an exception. We're not here to change it. I don't think we are smarter than the one before. Who owned Jerusalem? I mean, that's just like a silly question even to start asking or to ponder on. A few years ago, I was going to my house in Mount of Olives. And at that day, the Israeli security forces have blocked the road. But they were letting some cars in. So I was in the queue, and then I approached the soldiers. And, you know, I live 300 meters from that block. And they said, well, you can't. I was like, well, but the car before me just passed. And he said, yes. And then I suddenly realized that basically there is a settlement next to my house. And the army is filtering through the soldiers. If they see a Jewish person or Israeli going to their homes, then they allow them through the road. If it is a Palestinian, then they ask them to do the detour, which is 40 minutes. So he said, yeah, he can go. I was like, well, why? And then he said, well, whatever. Didn't answer. And then I said, is it because he is Jewish and I'm not? And then he said, yes, and what?
Why?
And that moment, it's probably the most difficult time I have been in Jerusalem, because you see racism, you see discrimination in your face, and added to it, sugar-coated with, like, you can do nothing about it. Home is probably, at least in Arabic, the word watan is, I would say, is probably the most emotional word, because it's a feeling, it's not a physical place. There are many people who are home, but they don't feel like they're at home. But they actually are in their homes, in their city, in their countries, but they don't feel home. So for me, Palestine exists or doesn't as a state, or what will be the state that will exist like that. It's something that we can play with and then we can discuss. But the Palestinians have to exist. And so for me, is the word Palestinians is more important than the word Palestine in a practical sense. But Palestine is that provocative word. It's a magical word in a sense, but it's also our life. I have my daughters, I say the word in my house probably 500 times a day. They better register it, and they better take it on, and they better keep repeating it. And we need to pass on Palestine to the next generation. Well, Jerusalem is a city where ideology, reality, history are kind of interplaying in a very weird, intertwining way. So if you ask most of Palestinians in East Jerusalem, why do you live in Jerusalem? Probably the first answer is not because I love the city, because it is, they have to defend the city, they have to be in the city.